Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for April 2nd, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We see people bringing barbecue grills into their residences, and that's almost a guarantee of suicide.
Noses are very hard to cover up without drawing suspicion to yourself, so they're actually quite easy to capture with non-cooperative subjects.
When you deliver drugs by eye drops, most of the drug doesn't really go where it's needed. So with a contact lens, we can really solve all these problems with the same device.
This week, researchers are developing contact lenses that could treat glaucoma. Also, could you get more out of a 20-minute workout than a 4-hour one? And there's a new way to identify potential criminal suspects based on the shape of their noses. But first, Suzanne Bard answers a listener's question about carbon monoxide poisoning.
Carbon monoxide gas may be odorless, but breathing too much of it can be fatal. Listener Amanda Wilson of Katy, Texas, wants to know, if it's so deadly, why haven't we evolved a way to smell it? We put the question to chemist Neil Langerman of Advanced Chemical Safety in San Diego. He says we lack receptors in our nose and mouth for carbon monoxide.
And without a receptor, you don't perceive it. It's a very small molecule. It's a very simple molecule.
He says we haven't evolved such receptors because indoor carbon monoxide exposure didn't become a problem for people until the advent of modern industrialized societies.
There just was no natural selection to drive the evolutionary development of receptor cells.
Langerman says symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning depend on the amount inhaled.
They would start out at low doses, perhaps being nothing more than increased ringing in your ears, maybe a mild headache, a sense that you're just not getting enough air to breathe. As the concentration goes up, those symptoms will, in fact, get worse, such that at the onset of the level of toxicity, which is about 3.5% saturation of your hemoglobin, a person's driving skills, for example, will be markedly reduced. Your driving skill will start to approach the level of the same effect as drinking alcohol. As the concentration goes up to drive perhaps 7 to 10% saturation of your hemoglobin, real motor performance deficits will occur. And then as you go higher, everything from nausea, extremely bad headaches, blurred vision. Ultimately, extended exposure at these kinds of concentrations will lead to death.
He says avoiding exposure to carbon monoxide is pretty straightforward. He cautions against smoking or burning anything indoors.
We see people bringing barbecue grills into their residences, and that's almost a guarantee of suicide. If your natural gas flame is anything but blue, call your gas company for service, because if it's got any yellow in it at all, you're producing carbon monoxide.
Langerman recommends installing inexpensive carbon monoxide detectors in the home.
I'm a strong believer in carbon monoxide sensors, the smoke detector type devices. They're $20, $30 plus annual replacement of a battery. They are really a good source of protection.
Thanks for your question, Amanda. You'll be receiving a Science Update mug in the mail very soon. And if you want a mug, give us a call with your science question at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT.
Thanks, Suzanne. Scientists are developing ways to identify people by physical features, such as intricate patterns in the eyes. But some of these techniques require the person to step close and stand still, which criminal suspects may not do willingly. That's one reason why engineer Adrian Evans of the University of Bath in England turned to the nose.
Noses are very hard to cover up without drawing suspicion to yourself, so they're actually quite easy to capture with non-cooperative subjects.
He and his colleague, Adrian Morehouse, analyzed 3D images of 40 people. By measuring just three specific aspects of a nose, they were able to narrow down the possible matches much faster than a full face recognition scan. The trade-off is that it's harder to make a one-to-one match, so the system may be best used to quickly flag suspects for further scrutiny. Next, we have guest reporter Karina Wu in the studio with us this week. She is here to tell us about a new use for contact lenses.
Contact lenses already correct less than perfect vision. Now they might also be a way to treat more serious eye diseases, like glaucoma. Anuj Chauhan is a chemical engineer at the University of Florida in Gainesville. He and his colleagues have developed contacts that can deliver drugs to the eye for up to a month. He says medicated contacts would improve upon eye drops, the usual delivery method. I caught up with him at the annual meeting of the American Chemical Society in San Francisco.
When you deliver drugs by eye drops, most of the drug doesn't really go where it's needed. So with a contact lens, we can really solve all these problems with the same device because there is less wastage, because most of the drug released by a contact lens actually goes into the cornea. The drug that is going to the cornea now is obviously not going to other organs, so you have less side effects, and also there's higher compliance, because you only need to put a contact lens once for 15 days and then throw it away, and so effectively you solve all the problems.
The lenses contain vitamin E, which slows down the drug as it moves out of the lens, allowing the drug to last longer. And according to Chahan, studies have shown that vitamin E has benefits of its own. It could help prevent glaucoma as well as cataracts.
Also, it has some other very useful properties, like for instance, it actually blocks UV light. And so it blocks UV light, so what will happen is, if you add vitamin E to the lenses will actually also become UV protected.
The researchers hope to finish lab testing of the contacts in about 2 years, and then start testing them in people.
Thanks, Karina. Children with impaired muscular coordination from disease or injury need to perform exercises to regain muscle control. But it's hard to get kids to do boring exercises day after day. That's why Dido Green at Tel Aviv University turned to magic. She's found that teaching kids simple sleight-of-hand tricks motivates them to practice the tricks over and over. That, in turn, improves their ability to do other things, from buttoning a shirt to typing on a keyboard. And in related news, scientists at Rutgers University have created games for a Sony PlayStation that help teenagers with cerebral palsy. The games involve performing repetitive fine motor tasks and have been found to improve the teen's hand strength and range of motion. Finally today, Suzanne has some good news for people who just don't think they have time to exercise.
Workouts don't necessarily have to last long to be beneficial. Exercise physiologist Martin Gabala of McMaster University in Canada says you can finish a great workout in the time it takes to watch a sitcom, and that's without the commercials. His team trained people on exercise bikes. For 20 minutes, they alternated 1 minute of rest with 1 minute of vigorous effort.
We used a standard stationary bike that people might have in their basement right now, and we used a lower intensity form of interval training, so not all out, but still something that would be out of your comfort zone and perhaps require 8.5 to 9 on a 10-point rating scale in terms of intensity.
He says the cardiovascular benefits were equal to 4 or 5 hours of typical, moderate exercise.
This type of training is extremely time efficient.
Previous studies showed similar results, but for more extreme, all-out effort on specialized equipment.
This is not just for elite athletes or highly trained individuals.
Gabala says the new findings suggest that anyone can benefit from this kind of training.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, a dung beetle has broken the record for the world's strongest insect, and we'll tell you about that. Also, why getting clean could be causing pollution, and how NASA scientists plan to search for the origins of the solar system in asteroids. But if you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.